Amen, amen, amen. I've entitled this Dying to Live. Dying to Live. We use that terminology quite a bit. Oh, I'm dying to see him. I'm dying to hear what he has to say. I'm dying to tap into that apple pie. Okay? We're always dying. Okay? What about dying to live? Dying, it's going to be good. I know this is Resurrection Sunday here, but it's going to be good. Dying to live. Here's my main theme in a nutshell. The message of the Bible is all about God loving us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to live and die for us so that we could have his life and overcome sin and Satan. Okay? That's basically why he came, so that we could have not just a life, have his life, and overcome sin and Satan. Because until we get to heaven, sin's going to be around here. And so is the devil. And neither one of them is good. When you get a chance, read John 3:16. Backs up what I just said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. He still loves us. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you four questions today that we're going to have an answer to. There'll be a lot of scripture up there, but don't let me scare you. We'll go through them quick. But I encourage you throughout the week not to go through them quick. Think on it. Chew on it. It'll change your life. Here's question number one. Why is living for God and overcoming sin and Satan so important? Why is living for God, getting his kind of life, and then overcoming sin and Satan, why is that so important? I'm a nice guy. I pay my taxes. I provide for my family. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I'm a good child, whatever. Why is living for God so important? And overcoming sin and Satan. Here's the answer. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, it opened up into the world what is called sin. That's what happened. When they disobeyed God, it opened up and it released an element called sin. Plus, it put mankind under the control of the devil. Whoa! So now we need to realize that every heartache, every problem, every disappointment is because of sin and Satan. So we need to say, well, what can I do about that? I want to give you two scriptures that'll prove what I just said, how bad sin is, how bad the devil is. First one is Romans 3:23. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of God's glorious ideal. Everybody deals with sin. Now, you might not sin all the time, but we've got to deal with it. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care if you're a preacher. I've said this before. It bears repeating. I was in a meeting. We were having a great service. And when I was done with the service and all of that, I was trying to check out because the people had brought me in. And they put me in a hotel, and they, you know, the procedure was they would pay that bill. I'm not paying it. They're paying it. And I'm staying there, okay? And so anyway, as I'm getting ready to check out, the clerk came, and I said, I'm checking out today, but I'm not going to pay the bill, just to be funny. Mr. Funny Man, okay? And they said, well, we'll see about that. They've been funny back to me. So I figured as soon as they saw that the church was paying for it, you know, there'd be no problem. But all of a sudden, they looked up and they said, that'll be, and they gave me the price. And I could see they were serious. And I said, no, you don't understand. I said, the church is supposed to pay that bill, not me. And boy, that opened up a Pandora's box. I'm sorry, we don't operate like that here. You're going to have to pay this bill. And we're going back and forth. Now, less than 24 hours earlier, I'm going, praise God. And now I'm going after it with them. They got another, so we couldn't get that resolved. They got another clerk. Another clerk came out, okay? And I'm arguing with the both of them, okay? This really happened. Then after that, they got another clerk because we're arguing. I'm not paying the bill. You are paying the bill. I'm not paying the bill, okay? I'm dealing with three of them, the three stooges, all right? That's what I felt like. I didn't call them that. I'm surprised I didn't because I was hot. Now, less than 24 hours earlier, I was hot for God, okay? Now I had a different kind of hot. You know what that's called? Sin. I'm dealing with all three of them. I got, now this really happened, so help me God. I know I've told this before, but it bears repeating. I got so frustrated and so angry because they didn't want to let me go. They wanted me to pay that bill. I'm not going to pay that bill. And I had my head down like that, and a thought came to my mind. I bet I could jump over this counter and take on all three. That really did. That popped into my head. You know what was worse? It was three women. Less than 24 hours earlier, praise God from who come. So we all have to be careful of sin. It's out there. Adam and Eve opened the door, and it's out there. All have sinned. All have sinned. See, I felt bad. We finally got it all worked out, and I told my wife about it. She, oh, wow, you did that? Yeah. And so we're driving down, and I had to stop back then. Boy, this will date you. They had something called a phone booth. And I had to stop at a phone booth there and call him and apologize. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Sin is out there. Everybody has to deal. Now, you don't have to sin every day. I'm just saying it's out there, and you got to deal with it. Jesus paid the price so that we don't have to be dominated by it. But then there's also the devil. See, some things come because sin. We goofed up. Devil didn't make you do it. Other things, you're under an attack by the devil, okay? The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus is speaking, and he said, the thief, speaking about the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have and enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. So the reason we need to live for God and overcome sin and Satan is because sin and the devil are out to kill you. Out to kill you. If I open the door to sin, it's going to cost you. You know who's a good example of that? Samson. He played with sin. With a little girlfriend he had called Delilah. And she said, tell us the secret of your strength. And he played with that for a while. Well, if you bind me like this, I'll be as weak as other men. And they did it, and then he'd break free. Well, if this happens, I'll be as weak as other men. He played with sin until finally the truth came out. And he told her what his secret was, and she took advantage of it. And he played with sin, but sin didn't play with him. Cost him his life. So that's why we need to live for God. There's something out there called sin and Satan, and both are out to kill us. God's out to give us life. Question number two, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Our inherited sin completely separated us from God. Now you might say, what do you mean are in here? I didn't do anything. I wasn't the one in the Garden of Eden. You inherit things. Do you know why I am the size I am? Because my mom and dad were shorter than me. That was passed on to me. Do you not trying to be political here, but has anybody ever heard of Barron Trump, the son of the president? He's 6'8". He's 6'8". You know why? Look at his mom and dad. They're not 4'2", okay? What happened? That was passed on to him. We get things passed on. Sin was the same way. When Adam and Eve sinned, we inherited that. That might not sound fair, but just like the Bible says, from one man, sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve, through one man being free from sin entered into the world, Jesus Christ. So the reason Jesus had to die is because the terribleness of sin plus the holiness of God and the justice of God required that sin be paid for through death. That's the only thing that's going to get rid of sin. That's how bad God looks at sin. That's how bad it is. You know why? Because it kills us. So to get rid of it, we got to kill it. And that's why Jesus had to come because if he hadn't taken our place and died on the cross, we would have been ever separated from God, because sin separates you from the things of God, separates you from his blessings, okay? And so Jesus came, and he took on man's character. Now, he never did sin. I'm going to give you three scriptures up there that'll back all this up. The first one is Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, when Jesus came, the Bible says in Philippians, he laid his divinity aside and he took on the form of a servant. He became like a man. And though he never did sin, he became sin so that he could pay the price for sin as perfection. Here's what I mean by that. When God gave to Adam dominion over the earth, it was his. He said, go ahead, name the animals, whatever you want to name them. I want you to take charge. The planet is yours. It's yours. When he obeyed the devil and disobeyed God, he changed rulership. He changed gods. And now he opened the door for the devil to be the god of this world. And that's what the Bible calls the devil. He is the god of this world. So, because God is just, he didn't just come in and say, okay, you guys move out here, I'm taking over. Now, he gave it to man. He gave it to man. For it to be restored, man had to come and had to live the life of being sinless, obeying only God and not the devil, so that he could be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, to get earth back to man and overcome sin and Satan. You understand all that? That's huge. That's huge. God is a very just God. He gave it to man. Man got us in trouble. We're going to need a man to get us out of trouble. But it was a God-man. Jesus was the only one that could do that. Now, if he would have sinned, then he didn't qualify. The reason he could get us out from under sin is because he lived his whole life. And in fact, one scripture says, which one of you can convince me of sin? They couldn't do it. They tried. They lied. He had to live a sinless life so that he could be the perfect Lamb of God and pay the penalty of sin, okay? Well, like I said, he didn't sin, but he became sin. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made as righteous as he is. Okay? Wow. That's a lot of love. That's why Jesus had to die. He was the only one. He was the one that was uniquely qualified to get us out of this mess where we could have his life, overcome sin, overcome the devil. Those three things are huge. Those three things are huge. Trying to overcome sin and overcome the devil without the life of God, good luck. Can't do it. If we could, then Jesus died for nothing. So here, the Bible then says in Romans 5:8, God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, he died for us. Now we need to chew on things like that. God loves you. Remember that when he tells you to do something that you don't want to do. No matter whether it's dealing with finances, whether it's dealing with your physical, mental, emotional, relationships, whatever it is, if God's telling you in the Bible to do this or live this way, it's for a very good reason. God's got nothing but good for you. So Jesus was the only one that was qualified to get us to overcome sin, overcome Satan, and have the life of God. Here's question number three. Going through this pretty quick, aren't we? Hallelujah. What did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? And that's what he said on the cross. As he was being crucified, finally said, it is finished. And then he gave up, the Bible says he gave up the ghost or he gave up his spirit. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And he said, it is finished. What did it mean by that? Here's what it means. He accomplished everything God the Father sent him to do. He lived for us. He lived a holy life. He never did sin. Then he paid the price, went to death, so that the sin debt could be paid. Now it legally cannot make us do the wrong thing. We do it a lot of times, but it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that I was standing there and was tempted to jump over the counter and fight three women. Dear God. Wasn't God. Okay. He accomplished what God sent him to do. That's number one. Number two, he paid the penalty for sin and Satan so that we don't have to be bound by it. There was a very, very, very famous, where's Judy at? She knows all of these answers if I say. There was a famous comedian that would say, the devil made me do it. That's what comedian was that, Judy, you remember? Yeah, somebody said it, Flip Wilson. That very good. They're taking your place, Judy. Okay. I'm getting older, she said. Yeah. Yeah, Flip Wilson. He was very good comedian. But he got famous saying that, the devil made me do it. The devil made me. He can't make you do anything. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, Jesus came, and when he said it's finished, he was saying, what you sent me to do, I've accomplished. I paid the debt for sin and Satan so that you don't have to be bound by Satan or sin. And number three, we've got a new way to communicate with God now. We've got, and we're going to give you that in a minute. We've got a new way. It's called a New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. I remember reading a story about a young man who was on his deathbed and he was trying to believe God for his healing and he didn't have much time left. And somebody said, you need to read this Bible. And when he got it, it's, like I said, it's a thick book. And he opened up the front and said, Old Testament, New Testament. And he said, I don't know how much time I've got left on this. I better start with the new because the new must take the place of the old. Otherwise, one wouldn't be called old and the other one's called new. We can learn from the old. And he did. And he got healed. And what I need you to get over to you is there were some powerful things that happened in the Old Testament. Powerful. Whether you're talking about the Red Sea parting, food coming out of heaven to feed them, whether you're talking about a man by the name of Elijah who called fire down out of heaven. I told you about the guy I met at the grocery store. His name was Elijah. Told you about that. And I said, you know, I like him in the Bible. I've read about him. Can you call fire down out of heaven? I went like that. And he said to me, no, but I tried once. That's what I said, yeah. He really did that. This man really, really did that. And on and on and on. All kinds of tremendous things in the Old Testament. And yet there's a Bible verse that says we've got a new covenant, which just means an agreement with God. You do what God tells you to do, he's going to do this for you. And the Bible says we've got a new covenant that's established upon better, better, better promises than the old. Brother! If they were calling fire down out of heaven in the Old Testament, no telling what we should be able to do. And so, we need to realize that God, when he said it is finished, he gave us a three-part summary of what had happened. I finished my course, I paid the price for sin and Satan, and now, a new way of communicating with God is available. Let's back that up with some scriptures. We're going to put them up on the screen. Colossians 1:13. Here's what the Bible says. God has rescued us from the power of darkness, and we've been transferred into his kingdom or under his government. What does that mean? Jesus paid the price so that now I don't have to say I'm bound by sin. I can't help it. I just can't help it. No, through the power of God, you've been delivered. In Colossians 2:15, God disarmed the principalities and powers and rulers in the darkness of this world, made a bold display and a public example of them. What does that mean? In the first one, Colossians 1:13, he's talking about how Jesus paid the price for sin. You don't have to be bound by a habit. I didn't say they're not there. I didn't say they're not real. I didn't say it might not be strong. It might be extremely strong. But I'm telling you what God has done for you. I can go to him and get his life to flow through me so that I can be free. And then I don't have to be bound by the devil. I don't have to be bound by him. I don't care what it is. I remember reading after one minister once, and he was one tough cookie. Tremendous man of God back in the turn of the century. God so mightily used him in the miraculous, especially on the West Coast, in the state of Washington, okay? He was getting so many people healed, they had to close down a hospital. Deaconess Hospital had to close down because he was getting more healed than they were. That's pretty good. And if you were to talk to him today, say, how you do all of that? Here's what he would tell you. I've taken advantage of the new covenant. I act like what God has made for us in the new covenant. And so he went to this meeting. It was a spiritualist meeting, you know. And I mean, there's forces out there that can do some powerful things, but they're not coming from the source of God. And they were levitating people and all that. And he went to that. And he went up on stage. He said, let's see you do a bigger miracle than me. Dear God, we need stuff like that. And so they made, okay, yeah, bring it on, Bubba. And so they were levitating some guy, and he went over there through the authority of the life of God, and he commanded that thing to come back down. And he said, now you can't levitate him anymore. God has given us authority. We don't have to be bound by anything, whether it's debt, whether it's pain, whether it's heartache, whether it's the past. I don't have to be. I don't have to be, whether it's because of sin or because of Satan. Why? God disarmed them. Now, the devil is still around, but he has no more power. All he's got is lies. Lies. So it would behoove us to listen to what God has to say. All right, let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If we are united with Christ, the Bible says we are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything in that new creation is new. Everything is new. I need to think on that. Forget your past. Forget how bad it was. Forget how good it was. When you come to God, you have His life. His life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:5, He gave us the very life of Christ Himself. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Christ is in you, and that gives you hope. But I need to think on it. I need to chew on it. I need to meditate on it. I've got the life of God in me. See, this is things that God made available when He said, it is finished. Now you've got my life. You don't have to be bound by sin. You don't have to be bound by Satan. Now let me put that a little bit more in where we're living. Right? Okay, sin, what's that? Okay, God. Three things God never intended for us to have, and we do all three. He never intended for us to sin. He never intended for us to get sick. And He never intended for us to die. And we do all three. Right or wrong, right? Okay. Now, it doesn't mean you're bad. I'm just saying there's something out there that we need to come against. And you might say, well, everybody's going to die. Let me give you something to think about. Here it is. I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, I'll give you something to think about. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to quote it to you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to judgment. That's a quote. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And so we take that and we say, see, everybody's going to die. Wrong. Wrong. Now, most people do. Don't stick with me. I don't want to lose you here. Okay, most people do. But that won't work if you're talking to Elijah. He didn't die. God brought him up, the Bible says, in a chariot, right up into heaven. And Elisha was able to see it. Look at that. Don't tell Enoch that. The Bible says he walked with God, and all of a sudden, one day, God took him home. Now, those are the only two out of everybody that's ever lived that I know that escaped death. But I'll give you something to think about. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't say it's appointed unto man to die once. Think about that, okay? Now, like I said, most people do that, and you're not bad if you die. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying God's got so much good for us. In fact, when you read, once again, in the Old Testament, they knew when they were getting ready to die, and they would bring their family in, and they would pass on blessings, and the Bible said they would pick up their feet and lay down, and then they would give up the ghost. It's almost like saying, okay, I'm ready to go. Goodbye. That's a good way to go. Okay, you're quiet on that one. Chew on all that. That's good, kind of good. Okay. Christ is in you, and that gives you hope. All right, here's a verse I want to give you. Hebrews 8:6, the Bible says we've got a better covenant that's established upon better promises. Abraham is called the father of the faith. Did you know that? All right, now this will get your attention. I hope for good. I hope you don't get religious on me. That's bad. Okay. While I'm on that subject, let me just say this. If you're wondering, do the Easter egg hunt and you got the Easter bunny out there and you got somebody with the Easter, and you know, why do you do that? Isn't that ungodly? It could be. Depends on you. Okay. We use it to attract kids. Same thing with Santa Claus. Okay? I don't have a problem with Santa Claus. I feel like anybody that is that jolly must be born again. And so we use stuff like that to get kids in here and tell them about Jesus. That's being as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Okay? So we've got a better covenant that's established upon better promises. So if they were doing tremendous things under the old covenant, and tremendous miracles happened under the old covenant, and Abraham, I started to tell you about Abraham, he was in the old covenant. He's called the father of the faith, and the Bible says he was extremely wealthy. Dear God! Well then, if I'm living under a new covenant, I ought to be more wealthy than him, and I'm not. Okay? Not God's fault. I'm just trying to show you how good God is. He wants to bless you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You're going to have them, but you can overcome them. All right, last one, last question. How do we experience God's life and overcome sin and Satan? So how do I get this going? That's where my title comes in. Just like Jesus had to die to bring us life, you know, Good Friday comes before Easter Sunday. He had to die to give us life. We have to die, but not in a physical sense. We have to die to selfishness. We have to die to just self-will. We have to die to our ways. We have to die to our strength and surrender to God and His Spirit within us, who's wanting to help us. If we'll do that, we lay the groundwork to experience His life. If I don't do that, then I'm trying to do things in my own strength, and I can't. Let me give you some scriptures. Luke 9:23. If anyone wants to be my disciple, this is Jesus speaking, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The cross represents death. Well, you don't have to die physically to get the life of God going, but I do have to die to a part of me that wants what it wants when it wants it. I don't care what God says. Got to die to that. And like I said, I told you, I wanted to jump over that rail and fight those three women. That's not a godly thing. I had to die to that. Hallelujah. There's still things I have to die to. Every day, you know, I try to eat healthy. I try to do this. There's a part of me that hates doing that. You got cookies out there. There's a part of me that loves that. I don't want you to feel guilty. I'm just telling you. I have to die to certain things that I would like to do that I know I shouldn't do. I had somebody, yeah, it was Elijah. That's who it was. I was talking to Elijah. I saw him in the store the other day. Elijah, how you doing? I said, good. Are you ready for Easter? I said, yeah. Are you going to eat a lot? I said, I can't do that. I said, not that I'm so disciplined. At my age, if you eat too much, it'll catch up with you, Bubba. And he looked like he's about 40 years younger than me. And I said, so take advantage of your youth and have a ball. Yeah, I'd like to eat everything that moves, dear God. But I can't, or I won't be able to move. So I have to die to that. Okay. John 15:5. Here's why I've got to do it. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. Without me, you can't do anything. There's a lot of people that are atheists that do all kinds of things, but not from an eternal point of view. Not from an eternal, yeah, they might do certain things that are good for a while down here, but that's not how you got saved. The Bible says, by grace we're saved through faith and not of our own works. Whoa. And the reason I need to get a handle on that I need to die to the natural part of me and say, God, have your way in my life. Every day. The reason I've got to do that is for this next verse. Look what it says in Matthew 16:25. And this one we're going to put up on the screen. Okay? This is powerful. I forget which translation this is, but I thought it was really good. Self-help is no help at all. Did you read that? Now, this is the verse where it says, if you find your life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you find it. What does a man profit it if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But I like this translation. This is good. Because there's all kinds of good books out there, and they're good books. but it's all based on self-help. You do it. You do it. Well, you have a part to play. But according to this, did you read that? Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it if you get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? That is a powerful verse. When you take the handouts here, I would encourage you to focus on that. Don't try to do, now that could mean a lot of things. Don't try to overcome problems in your own strength. Depend on God's strength. Don't try to come up with an answer in your own strength. Depend on God. Don't try to get free of this in your own. That's self-help. You need God. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything, all right? We're going to give you some more scriptures here. Matthew 5:3, 1 Corinthians 15:31, 1 Corinthians 15:14. Matthew 5:3 says, great blessings belong to those who know they need God. It's the first, what they call the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. One translation says, you're blessed when you feel like you're at the end of your rope. Why? Because God, if you don't come through, that's it, I've had it. So if you want the life of God and overcome sin and Satan, I've got to die to my ways, my strength, my anything, to open up to God. The Bible says, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. Well, he couldn't be talking about physical death. He's talking about I had to die to Paul, the old way of Paul, every day. Every day, I cannot let me be on the throne of my life. It has to be God. Now, why is that? Here's what it says. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ is not risen from the dead, our preaching is useless and so is our faith. Why is that? Now, here's another way to say that. If we're trying to do things in our own strength, then our trying is going to be useless because we're not taking advantage of the fact that Christ has risen. He has risen. He has risen to do something good for us. And I'm going to show you what it is. This one's going to be up on the screen. All right? This is Revelation 1:18. This is Jesus. Look, this is good. I'm showing you how to get his life, overcome sin, overcome Satan. Revelation 1:18. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am he who lives and was dead. But look, I am alive forever and always, and I possess the keys. That means absolute control and victory over death and hell. Wow. As long as I'm trying to do it, I'm not making way for the person that's got total control over death and hell. Well, I don't need control over that. I'm alive. Yeah, but certain things are killing you. And God would like to help you. You're not in hell, but you might feel like you're going through it. God would like to help you. And he's alive to do it. If I'm doing it in my own strength, then it might as well be in vain. Christ died for nothing. So I need to practice saying, God, I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to depend on you. I can't do it, but you can through me. All right. Let me give you three more verses. Hebrews 9:24. The Bible says that Christ has entered into the presence of God for us. Jesus is not in retirement. The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us. That's why a lot of times when I lead you in prayer, I'll say that. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus, that he died for me, and he's praying for me. So if I'm going to get the life of God flowing through me, I have to constantly focus on the life of God. See, it's a great deal of what we do in life. Catch this. Depends on how we see ourselves. Identity. You want me to let you know what's going on in the world today a little bit? It's a demonic thing. People, I understand, can have all kinds of issues in life. They can have mental issues, emotional issues, financial issues, relationship issues. I understand all of that. God understands all that. But the solution needs to be from God, not man. Okay, now catch this. Hope you can handle this. So if a person says, well, I'm confused. I feel like I'm a man, but I'm supposed to be a woman. man's idea is, we can fix that. We've got a scalpel. Simple operation. We can do that. That's man's idea. Notice I said, I can understand people can have all kinds of issues. God's idea is, come on, let me pray with you. I can help you with this. God creates male and female. He can help you. So we're not putting down anybody who has that issue. What I am dealing with, how are you dealing with it? Man's way or God's way? And what you have happening today is a lot of man's way. And you know what that does? That messes up your identity. What I'm talking to you here about is getting a good handle on your identity in Christ. That's huge. So how does the devil attack that? If you don't know if you're a man or a woman, that's pretty basic of your identity. See that? That's not of God. Now, I didn't say people that are having an issue with that are to be looked down on. It's the remedy that is not godly. You help people no matter where they're at, what they're dealing with. And we want to help people no matter where they're at or what they're dealing with. I'm just telling you, God, right now, Jesus, right now, is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. As long as I'm trying to do things in my own strength, my preaching and my faith is vain. It's useless. So I need to get real serious and consistent about dying to my strength and my ways. Two more verses. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ. Why? He's working in me and through me. Last one, Romans 10:13, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoa. So everything, as far as getting the life of God flowing into us, depends on how much am I depending on God to live in me and through me. In me and through me. In me and through me. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's something for you to think on. I'm giving you all these things to think about. When you read the Gospels of Jesus healing people, you'll never find one time where he prayed for somebody before he laid hands on them. Just laid hands on them. I didn't say it's wrong to pray for them. I didn't say that. He was just slow. And the only time was when he was getting to raise Tabitha, who's dead, and the Bible says he knelt down and prayed. But I don't know if he was praying for her or praying to his father. He had so much life flowing through him that he didn't have to take time to pray. He would wake up early and start praying. Why? Had that life flowing. You know who else had that happening real good? A man by the name of Peter, who didn't have a good reputation in the past for what he did, denied Jesus. But boy, what a turnaround. See, that's why you can be turned around no matter what. Now all of a sudden, Peter was the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and he got 3,000 saved in one sermon. And then later on, he's walking. Trying to find my shadow. He's walking down the street and the Bible says his shadow was getting people healed. Brother! That was under the new covenant. That's what God has for us. God's got good things for you today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I thank you so much that Jesus came and he died for us and he fulfilled his mission and he paid the price for sin and Satan and he opened up the door for us to have a new agreement with God, a better agreement with God. And the way we start is to die to ourself, die to our strength, die to our ideas and open up to God because they're all better. God, your ways are better. Lord, may your ways be manifest in this building this morning, that people will know how much you love them and you've got good things for them in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.